Have you ever eaten a meal that was so good that it changed the way you thought about that type of food? Or have you ever eaten a meal that was so delicious that no other food in that category could ever really compare to what you had just experienced? Like maybe you had a gourmet hamburger at a fancy restaurant and it was nice and all the fixings and it was delicious. And now every time you go and you drive through McDonald's or Whataburger, you just can't help but think like it's just not the same. Like, yes, it is a burger. Yeah, it's calories. I'm going to not be hungry, but it's just not the same experience. Or maybe you are loyal to a certain brand or something at the grocery store. And as you go through, you know, when you get to that one item that you have to get that brand, you have to go and you cannot go generic because it's just not the same. Maybe it's your toothpaste or your cereal or your toilet paper, but you know those things may look the same, they're trying to be the same, but you know it's just not the same. Well, if you know me or my family at all, you know that we love pizza. And it is on the menu in our house at least once every single week. Like, we love, love, love pizza. But a few years ago, my wife Emily and I had the opportunity to go and eat pizza in Italy, and it ruined us. Like, from that moment forward, we still eat pizza at least once a week, but it's just not the same. Like, it looks like pizza, it's called pizza, it technically is pizza, but I can't help but think and shed a tear every single time thinking about that experience. It's just not the same. Well, I was thinking about those comparisons this week really because of the subject of today's message. As we talk about circles and the circles in our lives, really one of the most important and powerful circles in our lives is the circle of people around us, our community. And the reality is, as followers of Jesus, our community with each other, when we get together, when we gather with each other in a smaller setting, is meant to be different. It may look the same as other gatherings, but it's not. It's meant to stand out. It's meant to be unique and to be a significantly different experience. Just take tomorrow night or any Monday night of the year. On Monday nights throughout the year, in this community, in this county, there are people who will gather together for many different things. People will gather together to support their kids' sports team. People will gather together to have a meal together or to play games together, to watch Monday night football or around some sort of hobby. But when on Monday nights, when Jesus' people gather together, they are a very different experience. There is something unique and set apart. Now, all the things I just mentioned are community. In them, you can find relationships and dialogue and interaction and care. They're good things. But a gathering of Jesus' people is meant to be different. And I want us to see why this morning. And so if you have a Bible, would you turn with me to the book of Acts chapter 2 this morning? The book of Acts is in the New Testament portion of your Bible. We have the four accounts of Jesus' life, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, and then there's the book of Acts. And the book of Acts just shows us and tells us about the early church and as it begins to grow. And this morning, I want us to look at one of the first descriptions of Christian community we see after the church is born. Now, as you turn there, up to this point, Jesus has been crucified on a cross. He has been buried and resurrected from the dead, and he has finally ascended into heaven. And as he ascends into heaven, he leaves this movement of people following him. He leaves this movement in the hands of his followers. The church is left in the hands of his disciples. And in chapter 2, we see that Peter, one of Jesus' disciples, preaches a sermon. And it says, after he preaches this sermon, 3,000 people hear the message and believe and are baptized. And we see this early church that is growing goes from maybe a couple hundred people to over 3,000 in an instant. And immediately after, we're giving a description of this community, of what their lives are like, how they interact with one another, and what they're about. And I want to read it to us this morning. Acts chapter 2, verse 42, here's what it says. It says, they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to fellowship and to the breaking of bread and to prayer. Everyone was filled with awe at the many wonders and signs performed by the apostles. Look at what it says next. All the believers were together and they had everything in common. and they sold property and possessions to give to anyone who had need. And every day they continued to meet together in the temple courts. They broke bread in their homes and ate together with glad and sincere hearts, praising God and enjoying the favor of all the people. And the Lord added to their number daily those who were being saved. This is a beautiful description, and it's full of lots of information of what their community and their lives were like. And some of the biggest things that stand out to me is we see here that they are unified. You can only imagine how diverse these people are, the different walks of life they're coming from. And here we see that they are unified in their purpose. We see that they're selfless and they're sacrificing for each other. We see that they loved one another, they served one another, they worshiped with one another. Ultimately, we see they were together. They were together physically in their proximity when they gathered, but they were also together in their lives, their hearts, and their mission. And the descriptions we see here are countercultural, even by our standards today. That stands out. But I want you to imagine how much that stood out in their day and time. In their context, that type of community that lived life together, that took care of one another, that met each other's needs, that worshiped and processed their faith together, that worshiped God alongside one another, it stood out. There were many communities at the time and people doing different things, but I guarantee you that that community stood out and it just was not the same. And it really is a reminder to us today that even us, our gatherings, our groupings, our community is meant to be set apart. It's meant to stand out in the world that we live in. Well, the last year, Emily and I have had the opportunity to lead a college-age small group here at Brazos Point. And it's been a blast. For the last year, we've just gotten to live with these college students, watch them grow and take next steps and have a ton of fun. But a few months ago, these verses came up as we were just discussing things. And as we read them, I simply asked our group, hey, have any of you ever seen this before? Have any of you ever experienced this? This concept, this description of people living life together, being on the same mission and purpose, of sharing things in common, of giving to one another as they had need. And I asked them, have any of you ever been on the receiving end of other followers of Jesus helping you, assisting you, giving to you in a time of need? And several of them shared stories, powerful stories. But there was one story in particular that I want to share with you this morning with that young man's permission. And that young man's name is Leo. And you see, Leo grew up in a difficult home environment. And throughout his time in high school, he was connected to our student ministry here at Brazos Point. And he got to attend many of our camps and our retreats on scholarship, because of the generosity of so many of you who give to make things like that possible. And after he graduated, he stuck around for a year and he got plugged into our small group and he just began to grow in his faith as he processed things in this group and grew and identified next steps and took them. And then one day he came to our group and he shared with us that he believed that his next step with God was to apply to be a camp counselor at a summer camp called Pine Cove. And as we listened to him, we all identified and encouraged him. That sounds awesome. That sounds incredible. Go. And a few weeks later, he came back to our group and he shared with us that he had realized as he was in the process that one of the things that they needed from him as he applied and was in the application process is that he needed to have an ID or a license. And that came as a shock to many of us in the group. Not only that Leo just did not have a license, but also because Leo had been driving his truck for the last several years. And so we recognized and said, hey, we want to help you take your next step and we want to help make you street legal. But it was incredible to watch as he shared this need in his life, as his peers, these college-age students, jumped in. Because you see, the reason why Leo had never had a license or an ID is because no one had ever helped him. No one had ever shared with him of, hey, here's what you do next. Here's where you go. Here's what you fill out. Here's where you go online to fill out this information, to sign up for this class, to do these hours, to go to the DMV and take the test. No one had ever helped. And it was an incredible thing to watch his peers, these college-age students, jump in and say, hey, I will help you. I'll help you drive. I'll help you sign up. I'll help you go to the DMV. I'll do the hours with you. I'll help you practice for this test. And it was incredible to watch his peers jump in to help him in this time of need and to help him take a next step with God. I remember the day of his test, he called me afterwards, and he told me, and he said, hey, I passed my driving exam, but I failed my eye exam. And he just began to share with me that he kind of had recognized over the years that his vision was a little worse in one of his eyes, and he had never done anything about it or had any help. He had never in his life been given an eye exam or had a prescription or a pair of glasses, and he thought maybe he could just push through, but he wasn't. I remember talking to him, not really knowing what to do, and just simply thinking, I'm just going to pick up the phone and call a member of this church who's an eye doctor and just share with them. And I called this person and I said, hey, there's a young man who you don't know, but here's his story. And I said, do you have any ideas of what we should do next or how we can help? And he just simply said, hey, give him my number. Here's the address to my office and tell him to meet me here at this time and tell him I'm going to take care of him. And I just got to hand all that to Leo and say, there's a stranger that you don't know who wants to meet you and help you. And for the first time in his life, he was given an eye exam. For the first time in life, he was given a prescription and a pair of glasses that had already been paid for. And from that moment on, he was able to go and pass all his tests, get street legal, get his license, but also take his next step with God. And he spent a summer at camp helping other students and kids grow, but himself growing in incredible ways. And I'll never forget this night as I asked that question, and Leo spoke up and he said, yeah, I've experienced that before. He said, you did this for me, and you served me, and you drove with me, and you took me there, and you helped me fill this out, and you worked with me on all these things, and then a complete stranger who I don't know helped me. Simply because I was also a follower of Jesus. And that night was just such a reminder to me that this is what makes Christian community different. That where else can people so radically different unite as equals and unified? Our lives may be very different. We may come from different backgrounds, make different amounts of money. We may disagree on big things, but in this kingdom and in this community, we can be united and equal. Where else do people serve and love one another in that way? Where else do complete strangers sacrifice for people that they don't know simply because they are a brother or a sister in Christ? And it really was a reminder to me that this is what makes our community different. This is what helps us to stand out in the world, and a reminder that we don't have to be alone in whatever comes our way. And the craziest thing that night is he shared that story. We had two people show up to group who were guests. It was the first time there. One of them grew up in a different Christian tradition, and the other was just unchurched. I remember speaking to both of them after the group just to connect, and both of them were just in awe of what they had heard. They knew these people, and for the first time in their life, they saw or what maybe they had heard about or read about come to life, this community that was just different and unlike anything else they'd ever seen or experienced. And it really was such a reminder to me that in this type of community, it is life-giving to those of us who are part of it. It's what we're called to do and be a part of. But it also is one of our most powerful witnesses that we have to the world. That when the world sees us, when the world sees our community with each other and how we love and how we sacrifice for each other, it's meant to stand out and to draw people in. And so my challenge to you this morning is I just want you to take a moment and I want you to think about the circles in your life. And I want you just to begin to assess the community in your life. What are the circles in your life like? What are the circles in your life built on? What do you gather together for and why? And do you have this type of community in your life? The type of community that you can grow with, that you can serve, and give to each other as they have need, where you can process the things of faith and life in a safe environment together. A group of people that you can be there for, but who will also be there for you in times of need. And my challenge to you this morning is to do one of two things, either to move towards or lean into Christian community. Circles of people who are on the same mission and purpose as you and who will help these things come to life in your life. So if you are not currently involved, if you're not experiencing these things or surrounded by people who are real and honest and also following Jesus, I want to challenge you to move towards it, to find that community, to get connected, to get plugged in. And if you are around it, you are a part of a group, then what would it look like to lean into it? To say, this group is about more than just an hour once a week, but this is the people I live life with. This is the people I process the things of life with, the people who I serve and serve me, and we take care of one another. I want you to know that we want to capture that type of community here at BPF. And if you are not connected, we want to help connect you to that type of community through our small groups here at Brazos Point. I want you to begin to pray about, is your next step to join a small group, to get connected, to sit around real people? Because here's what I want you to know. Small group is about so much more than just giving the perfect or the right answer to questions that are asked. It really is. It's about so much more than that, about sitting around, getting out of rows and into circles and living life together. Sitting around real people and allowing yourself to be real and open and process things. To be comfortable maybe giving the wrong answer or not having all the answers. Do you have that type of community in your life? And here's what I want you to know. You can find community other places. You can. You can find community at the ball field. You can find community at work or in your neighborhood or at your school. And as followers of Jesus, we are called to be in those communities, loving those people. But when Jesus' people gather together, there's something different about it. And it's unlike anything else, and it stands out. And so are you experiencing it? If your next step is to get connected, I want to invite you to do that this morning. You can at some point scan that QR code in front of you. You can come find me after the service. I'll be up here. You can go out to the Next Step Center, and someone would love to help you take that step. But here's the other thing I want you to know. At a time where we need community the most, because of all we've had to endure the last year and a half, at a time where we need community the most, we have the fewest number of groups and opportunities to plug new people into because of the last year and a half and all it's done. So I want you to know that connection is too important. And so we're gonna try new things. And if your next step is to join a group for the first time, I want you to know that we're going to try something new this semester. And this semester, we are going to create an on-site small group experience here in this building that will meet once a week in the evenings. We'll provide childcare, and it'll be an opportunity to connect you. We don't have to worry about enough homes or space, and we can connect new leaders too with existing leaders and just create space and spots and opportunities for you to connect and to remove barriers, because connection is too important. So we're going to try new things. And is your next step to get connected? And if so, reach out, come find me, scan that code, talk to someone at the Next Step Center. We would love, love, love to connect you. And here's the other thing. Every semester, there are people who identify that their next step is to join a group. Because they want to grow, they want help, they want to help, they want support, they want to be connected. And yet every semester there are people who identify that's their next step, but who are unable to take that step because we simply don't have the space, because we don't have enough groups, because we don't have enough leaders. And so this morning I also want to put on your radar, would you begin to pray if leading a small group is your next step? Maybe you've been connected to this type of community before. You've experienced it. You've had people process things with you and love you and be there for you in times of need. And maybe your next step is to help create that for a new group of people. to help create those opportunities and those seats for people who are not experiencing that. If you are even interested, or maybe that's something God's putting on your heart, if you go to the same link or all those same methods, I would love to have a conversation with you. Even if you're only thinking about it, I'd love to talk to you about that. Because the reality is, we need to be connected. And we need more groups, and we need more spots, and we need more leaders. And I know there are many things that can be running through your minds right now of, that's just not for me, or I'm just not capable, or that's for them and those not me. And I just want to encourage you this morning. It really is about so much more than just having all the answers, being able to answer every single thing that may come your way. It really is about creating an environment where you love and lead people to grow together. And so this morning, I want to do something a little different. I want to bring up this morning a current small group leader, and I just want us this morning to hear a little bit about his experience and some of the things that he has gotten to see. And so would you help me welcome this morning Charles Smith. Well, Charles, thanks for being here this morning. Like I said, you're a current small group leader. My first question for you this morning is just like, how did you kind of get to the place that you're at to be a leader? We all have dreams as kids of things we want to do. Like, tell us, did you grow up your whole life thinking, one day when I get older, I'm going to be a small group leader at my local church?
as small group pastor, you probably want me to be thinking that. But no, quite frankly, I never thought about leading a small group, nor did I ever think about being part of a small group. And quite frankly, at a young age, I wasn't thinking about being part of a church. But as my wife and I joined Brazos Point, and as we grew in Brazos Point, it was very evident to us that our next step was to join a small group. However, we kept putting it off. We had a ton of excuses. Maybe some of you are familiar with them. You don't have time. I don't fit in that group. Man, that group must have been there a long time. They're super close. We had every excuse in the book, and it became very evident to me at some point we weren't joining a small group. So with the help of a few friends here at this church, I fixed the problem. I hosted a group, and so people just showed up in my house, and we had to be there. So that was one way of ensuring that we showed up for small group.
You can't skip that group, huh?
No, you can't skip that group.
Well, Charles, as we talked this morning, talking about the idea that a community, when Jesus' people get together, is different. You know, there are good things about other communities, but when Jesus' people get together, there are unique things that only happen there for us. And so can you share any things you've gotten to see, experience of life change that has kind of happened in your time leading these groups and being a part of them?
Yeah, absolutely. I've seen many, many blessings, many, many different life changes, even with myself, just from the way of accountability and growing. But one thing I'll share with you in particular that I remember is I have a friend that I encounter on a regular basis at a common place, and he was sharing with me that his faith had become, the words he used was stale and stagnant. And he felt that his next step was to join what he called maybe a life group or a small group or whatever. But he didn't go to this church. I invited him to small group, and he started coming to our small group and would later join our church. And so I share that with you because it's very important that we as a church kind of take a step back and evaluate how we look at small groups. Naturally, we say, hey, we go to church and every Sunday and every Sunday and every Sunday. And as Joseph would encourage us to do and should do, our next step would be to join a small group. But I also want you to look at it a little bit different way, that a small group could potentially be our front door to the church, meaning maybe somebody comes to your small group. Maybe you love on that person, and maybe that person's not particularly comfortable coming to this type of setting, but is comfortable coming to your home and sitting with you, and then at some later time when they are comfortable, they accompany you to church. You sit with them, you guide them, you show them what Brazos Point is all about. So I say that, really start thinking about a small group could also be the front door to somebody joining a church and becoming plugged in.
Yeah, I think that was powerful. One of the things I've heard you share and other leaders that I talked to is so many of them recognize there are people in their lives and their work and their friendships that they have a relationship with that they have invited to their groups. And it's one of the most effective things, that those people are comfortable enough showing up to group, feeling like I don't have to have all the right answers. I don't have to have the perfect or know the answer to this question. It really is, hey, they know you, they trust you, and they're comfortable in this environment where they can just sit with real people. Suddenly, what it looks like to follow Jesus, they're sitting with just real people in front of them who have problems and struggles and are also processing the things of faith together. And so I think that was powerful to hear you say that small group really has become a front door for you. And so, you know, what would you say to someone this morning who is on the fence, who's maybe their next step is to get connected? They've been doing life by themselves or they've never really had that type of community. What would you say to the person who's like, I don't know, I'm on the fence, I don't know if I have the time or whatever it may be? What would you say to them this morning?
I can tell you this, and if my wife were sitting here with you today, if we talked about our walk and our faith and how we've grown, and we still have a ways to go, and we're still looking for other ways to grow our faith, but we could sit here today and tell you that the point where we started to grow the most, where we saw this rapid point where we just grew and got connected, was small group. And that made a huge difference in our life. And I can tell you, if you think you don't have time, I promise you, you can make the time, and I promise you, if you don't hear anything else that I say today, it's worth the investment. It's worth the investment, regardless of where you are in your life.
Awesome. Well, last thing, Charles, what would you say to somebody whose maybe next step is to lead a group? Maybe they've experienced it before, but they just feel like, I'm not ready, I'm not cut out, I don't have what it takes, but maybe their next step is to lead a group. What would you say to that person?
When Greg Pickering asked me to co-lead a group, you know, my immediate thought was, I'm not ready for this. You know, I'm the guy, and I still do it today. I use the table of contents to find various books in the Bible. I'm by no means a theologian. I don't have a degree in theology. And in my mind, that's what it took to be a small group leader. And when you think about a small group leader, I want to encourage you is just, are you ready to love people? And are you just ready to guide people and help them and be one of the people within that group to help them take their next steps with God? I'll share a little story with you. Here recently, God had put it on my heart that a girl that I ran across in my profession, to ask her to come to church. And immediately, much like when Greg asked me to be a small group pastor, I thought, what will she think of me? Will she think I'm strange? And will she think I'm weird? And I'm sharing this with a coworker who's very strong in her faith. And she looked at me and she said, Charles, let God do the heavy lifting. Let God do the work. Ask the girl to church. And I asked the girl to church, and she came here to Brazos Point about 3 weeks ago. And so when you think about leading a small group, you don't have to do it all. Let God do the heavy lifting. You just be there and be willing to love and be willing to help people take their next step with God.
I think one of the most powerful things I heard you say is people asking the question, do I know enough? Am I ready to answer every question that may come my way in a group, sitting around discussing things? And I love that you said, the question isn't, am I ready? Do I have all the knowledge? Do I know enough? The question really is, am I ready to love and lead people and create an environment where we grow together? And I just think that's such a paradigm shift that is incredible. The last thing I just want to encourage you with this morning is if you are still exploring faith, you're still not quite sure about Jesus or all of this stuff, I want you to know that I would love for you to still connect in a group. There's almost no better place I would want you to be than sitting around with real people following Jesus and just seeing that it's real, they're real, and who will love and serve and care for you. And so really, last thing, I'm so glad that you are here this morning. Like, I am glad that you woke up, that you got yourself here to worship with us together, or you're watching online with us. I really am so glad that you're here. But I want you to know that if this is all you experience, if you never get out of rows and into a smaller circle of people like this, following Jesus together, then you are missing out on so much of what it means to follow Jesus. Even the descriptions we read of the early church and their type of community, so much of it is about how they interact with each other, how they care for one another, how they process things and grow and worship together. And so I just want you to know, I'm glad you're here, but I really want to challenge you to begin to pray about, what does it look like for you to take a step to connect or help to create those environments where other people can connect? Let me pray for us. God, thank you for just that reminder again this morning that we are not supposed to do this by ourselves. And God, that the type of community that happens when your people get together is something that gives life to those who are involved and helps us to grow and to shape and to process things. God, but it also is such a witness to the world of who we are and who we're following. So Father, I pray for us this morning that you would help us to move towards or to lean into the communities of your people around us. God, that you would put on people's hearts to sign up for a group, to try it out, to trust us, but really to trust you, or God, for people to say, maybe it's time for me to help create this for other people. God, thank you that your hand is on us and help us just in these communities and in these circles. Lord, we love you. We pray this in your name. Amen.